You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We got to go back and make sure there's no update on that story. She's one of my favorite women ever. That was the, 80-year-old, some octogenarian.
Yeah.
Who has been threatened with eviction from her nursing home because she likes wine night with the ladies.
Grandma Droniak is what she is known as.
She goes, we don't party, but we like to get loud.
She's not an octogenarian. Neptogenarian?
Is she 90 something?
She is 96 years old.
Oh, I love that woman.
She's an internet influencer and a national treasure because she likes to have her ladies over at her nursing home where she pays $12,000 a month, and they like to have a couple drinks, and they like to laugh.
They like to gossip.
They like to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, you're way up there. Might as well.
And she says, I pay 12 grand a month to live here. I want a party.
I can do what I want. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. So funny.
Very quickly on a serious note, we're getting a lot. Let me try that again. English is easy.
It's been
words
a month. It's been a month, but we are getting a lot of people today asking, are you going to address where the Scott part of the Dana and Parks program has gone. And so we will address it briefly. Again, it was widely reported, but Sam, go ahead.
He is seeking inpatient care that he needs. His statement is tagged on Dana and Parks' Facebook page. He addressed it on the air. The demon of alcoholism is something that never goes away. It returned, and he is seeking the care that he needs, and he will be back as soon as he is ready. We cannot wait for it. We miss him, too. But that's what's going on.
Absolutely.
We didn't just say, bye, Scott.
Bye. And then not address.
He's coming back.
If you go to the Dana Wright KMBZ page, Dana Wright KMBZ, it is pinned to the top of my page, including his statement. His statement before he went in.
So he was not called up to play in the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, no. Okay. You know what?
Have
I'm glad you brought that up.
Have you seen
those knees? I'm glad you brought that up. I said last night in watching what I now understand to be an extremely violent sport, even with all the flips and the flops and the flopping on the ground, very violent. I said, how many of you think you could play 90 seconds on a full soccer field? Because it's wider than a football field.
It's massive.
And it's longer than a football field.
Yeah, the pitch is huge.
I would not be able to run to the center of the field without needing a hydration break.
I think if you gave me 6 weeks to build up, because I don't do any cardio. I work out a lot. I don't do any cardio. You give me 6 weeks to build up my stamina, I think I could easily get through a half of soccer.
I think you have lost
constantly.
Your mind.
And typically,
there's no way, Sam. I'm telling you, I now believe this to be the hardest physically demanding sport there is.
Typically, there are no hydration breaks.
No.
Can we just call it what it is? I'm so tired
of fancy term for advertising dollars.
Hydration break stuff. Just say we wanted to take a break so that we could play some commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we're going to add 10 minutes of stoppage time at the end. So we're really not actually gaining.
Right. Yeah. Because they have to play 45 minutes and 45 minutes. So they just fold that hydration break time on to the end.
And then you end up with a total of 115 full-time playable minutes in a game that's only supposed to be 90 minutes
they
long.
They never stop running, you guys.
Yeah.
All they do is run.
They are some of the most fit athletes you will find.
Average professional soccer player runs between 7 and 8 miles per game. That's for 90 minutes. So then when you make it 115, we're looking at 9 to 10 miles.
Yeah.
Throw on the extra time like we're in right now with Switzerland and Colombia. And we're actually looking at more like 10.
If I had a fitness watch on and even attempted to do 1/100th of what those men and women do out there, my watch would say, call 911. What are you doing?
So you're not going to be playing in the Casey Current media
game? I never play in the media game. You know why? I am not. It is time to pass that torch to the younger players, Dan.
No, I don't think so. I'm
going
out there.
You keep going.
I'll be there.
You do you.
Yeah.
I will cheer you on from the stands.
Well,
I promise
if we're
you
on
that.
The same team, Sam, we're gonna have to plot and plan our
please do.
Great point from the text line. Try playing tennis for 5 hours
at the country
guys
club.
Play forever.
Still not as much exertion as soccer.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah,
because they are running all the way down, and all the way back, and then all the way down, and then all the way back. Real quick, do we know about the outcome for Kansas City's match yet on Saturday?
So we are awaiting the final of the Switzerland-Columbia game. It is currently 0-0. We are in extra time.
Okay.
We do know that Argentina will be returning to Kansas City on Saturday after their incredible three-goal lead at the end of their game earlier today.
Has anyone checked on the Telemundo commentator who called Messi's goal?
Rumor has it he is still shouting goal. No confirmation there.
Well, let's check.
But that's what the rumor is.
Mostly the squeaking. Like he's falling off a cliff.
Like he ate Taco Bell last night. Like he stepped on a Lego with bare feet.
I think we got one more in there.
Like he was skateboarding. It hit him in the wrong spot.
Argentino! That baby's got a big head.
It just keeps going on, and it makes me so happy. So happy. From CBS News, the United States Postal Service has announced it will be raising the price of a, quote, forever stamp to 82 cents on Sunday. The U.S. Postal Service will raise the price again of a first-class forever stamp from 78 cents to 82 cents, the latest in a series of increases aimed at trying to stem the bleeding from the agency's mounting financial losses. And if
Scott
were here...
Stamps make me nervous. Because I don't know how many you're supposed to put on. Where they're going to be like, you should put one more on. And they changed the price of stamps. And that's not in the news, you know. You don't find that out on Twitter. You have to find out from old people. They're the only people that know. They keep up with it. They're like, stamps went up. You're like, okay. All right. Is it $100? Like, they're furious. Is it $100 a stamp? It's three more pennies. Stamps make me nervous.
Oh, my God, Nate Bargatze. My God, I love that man. And yes, it's about 3 cents. They are going again from 78 cents to 82 cents Sunday. And they call it the forever stamp because if you had an old one that says forever, it will still work. But now when you buy new ones that say forever, they're more expensive.
Yeah. When was the last time you mailed anything with a stamp?
Oh, Dan, we have some in our secretary's drawer at the house. We have a little hutch, antique secretary's drawer.
No. Your employee is secretary.
I have my secretary mail my things, Dan. Her name is Lila. Very helpful. No, we have a secretary, like a secretary's hutch.
Yeah, a hutch.
And it's like it's 100 years old, this thing, back when stamps were like a penny. And we have stamps in there. Last time we mailed, I mean, honestly, we've probably mailed one thing in the past year. And I can't even tell you what that thing would be. We didn't do Christmas cards this year. Yeah, we did. We took a photo on the beach with the kids. Yes, we did.
I didn't get one.
Sorry. So I brought brought you yours to work. I brought it in for you and Scott. And I said, I'm not wasting whatever it was, 78 cents at the time.
Don't do a judge.
But we just don't do it anymore. And part of this is a topic, you guys, and here's why. They can't just keep raising the price of stamps, hoping that the USPS is going to not be so bleeding in the red that it loses billions of dollars every year. I don't remember the number, but it is billions of dollars.
Perhaps the whole thing just needs to be reimagined.
Yes.
Do they get paid for all the political junk mail stuff that they have to drop off?
I think they do, and they are legally required to make sure that junk gets in your mailbox. So, Sam, I don't know if you guys have ideas. We could take those on the text line. I don't know that we need mail 6 days a week. I'm sorry. I do think small towns have to have their post office.
The idea is privatize it.
You have to have a post office in the small town. That's people still gather there. People still use their P.O. boxes there. But do we need as many as we have in the big city here? I think you need one or two passport centers. I don't know that we need all of them. I don't.
I'm actually in a pickle. I filed the extension on my taxes in April because the first time in my life I procrastinated so hard that I just didn't do it in time. So we went through a tax guy this time. And typically when I owe the state, because I always owe the state like most people do, I'm on TurboTax. So I just pay through TurboTax. Well, since I went through a tax guy this time, not only do I need to procure a stamp to send in the payment that I owe the state of Missouri, I also now have to procure a checkbook.
Oh, yeah, have fun with that.
I've never owned a checkbook
now,
in my life.
Sam, you don't need a checkbook for that. Go get a cashier's check at the bank.
Well, that's going to cost me $250.
Well, checks are like $20, Sam.
So wait, I'm going to go pay $250 then.
This tax guy isn't helping you with the electronic filing and all that?
Well, no, he filed it. But when you go through a preparer...
I think you can just, I mean, you probably don't want to give them your routing information, but I would get a cashier's check from your bank. Don't go get a box of checks. That's such a waste of money. You're never going to use them.
All right, I'll do that.
And by the way, officials have signaled that additional stamp prices are likely. They are looking at raising a stamp to between 90 cents and 95 cents to, quote, help stabilize the United States Postal Service. Listen to this. Raising the price of a first-class stamp to as high as 95 cents, quote, would largely solve our controllable losses. They believe that they are running a risk of running out of cash in 12 months.
What is stopping them from raising it that far? What's the point?
Just call the stamp $2 and be done with
it. Make it $4. Because no one ever uses them anymore.
Our older friends. There would be a riot. There would be an octogenarian riot.
There was also a riot when they took the tie-up post for your horse out from the front of City Hall.
I know.
People got over it.
I know.
The hitch.
Could they raise the price of a stamp? The problem is, we need to mail things. We need the postal service. I need to mail my mom something once a year that I physically buy to her to mail her that I don't use Amazon
for. Could you cough up $2 for that?
But what if it's bigger and now it costs like $100 to...
Well, no, I'm not saying make packages more expensive.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yes,
I think if they raise the price of a stamp to $2 or $4, most people would be fine.
Thank you, text line. I can pay on the Missouri Treasury website. I should have Googled this.
Look, you're like the young one. You can do all this stuff online.
I wanted to complain.
913-586-7798. Prices of stamps going up again. Came from an extremely local Johnson County media site. So you guys know this. This was the wedding covered round the world. Airtight non-disclosure agreements. We have not seen the dress. We have just heard a couple of things about the ceremony, but really, it's the first time a wedding of this magnitude happened, and there are so few details.
Which in and of itself is a little bit ridiculous.
No cell phone policy. They wanted privacy, and they got it. This story, I assure you, will make you laugh. From the Kansas City Star, you name it, and news of the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce wedding was everywhere. Social media feeds, news websites, cable news broadcasts. And then they give examples of the headlines the next day across the world. Tailor-made wedding. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce unite in marriage. It's a love story, Reuters. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, America's royal wedding, The Observer. The winner, however, goes to our favorite small town newspaper, the Johnson County Post. They shared the news of the wedding, and it went viral because so many people found it hilarious. A Twitter user shared the image of the headline, and everyone has gotten a big kick out of it. The headline simply read, "Johnson County couple married in private ceremony in New York."
Wow. Hey, good for them, honestly, for having the most journalistic integrity regarding
Johnson
writing
County
a news
couple
line for that story.
Married in private NYC ceremony.
I mean, that is as objective,
hilarious,
forthright, to the point The couple is from Johnson County.
They do live in Leawood.
They got married. It was a private ceremony. There was no fluff.
So funny.
There was no puns. I love it.
What is a total dream job?
Ooh.
And I have found it for Dan Weinbaum. For the first time in eons, the legendary game show Jeopardy is hiring. I did not even know there is a job description called clue writer. There's a job description, Sam, for head clue writer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they are hiring a new clue writer. The ideal candidate should demonstrate wit and clarity, must also be able to pass the show's infamous contestant quiz, where topics range from geography to opera, science, and superhero sidekicks, and talk about Revenge of the Nerds. Whoever scores the gig will earn anywhere from, you want to guess, to be a clue writer on Jeopardy.
Oh, 250.
Anywhere between $132,000 and up to $178,000 per year.
Do you have to live in LA?
It is considered an elite gig. An elite gig writing for Jeopardy. One that is almost impossible to get. The show has enjoyed enduring popularity, as you know, across all demographics. It is beloved for its ability to mix highbrow facts with goofy word games. Scoring the job will be even harder, they write, than betting it all on the Daily Double. Wannabe Clue crew members must submit to the standard Jeopardy Anytime online quiz, which asks 50 questions, and you have 15 seconds to answer each one.
How many do you have to get right?
Pretty sure you got to get all of them right, Sam.
Oh, I'll go take the quiz. I'll apply.
Expect toughies like "Scene by the Brook" is one movement of Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, known as this.
What is Beethoven's Sixth Symphony?
That's a great guess, Sam. But I don't think you're going to be a top candidate for this job.
Oh, okay.
If you want it, we'll pass the link.
I'm good at Googling things.
You cannot cheat. I think that's why they give you 15 seconds. You can't cheat.
Oh, you want to test the speed of these fingers? Okay.
After proving your trivia prowess, by the way, you need to create possible clues in 12 categories across business, food, history, pop culture, and science.
I love it. Sign me up.
Most clue writers have been with Jeopardy more than 10 years. The writing team is comprised of just 10 lucky, very smart people.
Wow.
913-586-7798. We will wrap up the final half hour of the Dana and Parks program straight ahead.
A backpack is more than just a backpack, and Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and the families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys that a child can face. It's more than paperwork, it's trauma-informed support, community advocacy, and the real help when it's needed most. That's why KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect's School Supply Drive. A new backpack is just the beginning. You can learn more about their important work and make a donation at KMBZ.com. Look for the School Supply link on our homepage. Together, we can give kids a strong start to the school year, some confidence, some feeling of wanting to go back to school. Again, that's KMBZ.com. Look for the School Supply link and donate there. We're keeping an eye on the Switzerland-Columbia game.
I mean, I can hear...
Dan Weinbaum is losing his mind in the newsroom.
I can hear all kinds of noises that now I'm like, okay, we will know soon which teams will be playing in Kansas City on Saturday night. We don't know yet, but we will know soon. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Very soon. They're going to get to the part now where...
Yep.
Well, never mind.
Yep.
We'll know soon.
Here's a cool story. Leftover food, you guys, from the World Cup festivities in Kansas City are helping feed families. I love this story from Channel 4. If you've made your way around to different World Cup events across the metro, you'll notice a surplus of food options at each and every one. FIFA is partnering with one local organization to make sure the leftovers aren't going to waste. At Grace and Holy Trinity Cathedral Monday, volunteers from FIFA and Pete's Garden teamed up to put leftover food from all the World Cup festivities to good use. Pete's Garden works with the food service sector to provide meals for more than 1,000 families a week. And as of July 1st, the organization has already recovered, ready for this, 6,500 meals from World Cup-related events.
Wow!
In World Cup matches, they say, there's a lot of food being prepared. Chefs don't always know how many people are actually going to eat everything. So typically, at events like this, there's a ton of food left over. Their goal is to reach 10,000 meals by the end of the tournament, and volunteers from FIFA are stepping up to help make it happen. One of the biggest, saddest realities in our society is food waste. From restaurants, from grocery stores,
oh, yeah,
from your home.
Restaurants are the biggest offenders.
Gigantic events. The fact that they are trying, to help in this regard makes my heart so happy. Pete's Garden, by the way, distributed more than 200,000 meals last year. They know one in six kids in Kansas City goes hungry.
And so many people are food insecure.
Yes.
And
love it. Love it.
I appreciate the good work they're trying to do.
All right. We held this over from yesterday. I know it's going to make you mad. It is what it is, but it's going to make you mad. More than 500 geese were killed this week as part of a plan to cull to address an overpopulation problem in a neighborhood in Alabama. HOA leaders say the United States Department of Agriculture captured and killed 550 geese on the property Tuesday night. 550. This was the USDA, folks, because if you went to go remove the geese, you would be jailed. Like, it's illegal to mess with the wildlife, right?
Not only would you be jailed, you would face a massive fine.
This was the USDA. The HOA board said it received approval to euthanize the geese after the population reached five times the safe threshold recommended by the USDA.
For whatever reason, they just really liked this area. They kept laying more eggs and...
Yep.
I didn't realize that geese infestations were a problem.
It took nine USDA agents to call the geese. The board said no ducks, no swans were taken, just the 550 geese. And according to the board, USDA wildlife biologists told them this was the largest cull they had ever participated in, and that they were, quote, shocked that residents had been living with this number of geese for so long, and here's why. They had tried non-lethal options, you guys. People were starting to get sick. Dogs were getting sick.
Do I remember correctly that you said they were carrying avian flu?
A lot of them had avian flu.
Yeah.
So then you had other geese dying in the past year because of the geese that had the avian flu.
This doesn't really make me mad at all. I mean...
Well, just wait. Here's where the topic turns kind of south. Oh. I'm just going to tell you it does.
Okay. Turns south, really? Does it fly south?
It turns and flies south. The board said the USDA did not provide them an advance date or time for the call because of threats of violence made against the agents. HOA board members also previously received death threats over the decision, prompting investigations by the FBI and the Madison Police Department. Board members, you guys... Why anyone would ever agree to be an HOA board member, I have no idea, because it is a thankless job, and this only proves my point. Board members say they were bombarded with hundreds of online death threats, some sent directly to their emails or social media accounts. Their home addresses were also posted online. Multiple protests have taken place about the call of the geese. They are implementing strict no-feeding enforcement. You can't harass them to discourage them, and they're going to continue egg oiling, which is basically a way to the geese don't hatch. I don't know what to say about this other than should the HOA have somehow operated in the dark? I don't know the answer to that. I don't.
I mean, I can see the perspective if you're the— You know, all
the USDA
animal lives.
Got death threats, Sam. The agents were getting death threats.
I can't imagine that was actually a large number of people. I think that was probably a very small number of people that were sending different and similar
still
threats
illegal.
Over and over
And then
again.
They got doxxed.
I'm not saying it's okay that they were sending these threats. Obviously, it's not okay that they were doxing. I can understand from the perspective of, you know, we shouldn't be killing these animals. We should be letting them live. The whole putting grease on eggs to me is almost more
worse?
Devastating
than worse?
Just, you know, rounding them up and taking care of business. But they had avian flu. Do you want eggs to go back up?
Yeah.
Do you
I don't
want
know.
Chickens to have to be culled by the millions? I mean, if we're talking about eliminating the problem, 500 geese compared to what was it, like 14 million? I'm just making up a number.
There's a lot of
way off.
There's a lot chickens of them out there.
That we had to kill last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, quite frankly, in terms of the people sending the death threats, I've never, ever in my life talked to someone who said, no, I love geese. I really enjoy when they walk across the road and
poop all over everything. And yeah.
I really enjoy, as you mentioned, when they poop all over everything. I love having green stains on my driveway.
Right.
No one has ever said that to me ever in my life. So who are these people?
I don't think they're zealots, Sam. I really don't. I think these are people that heard they were going to call, which we do with deer, by the way. We do with all kinds of animals. They were going to call 500 geese, and they just lost their mind without reading the reason why. And I would want to know, is there not another option? Could you relocate them? Like, I don't know how that works.
You can't relocate them.
The USDA is in the business of understanding this stuff, and if they said this is the largest nuisance we've ever seen, the only option is calling, I'm going with the USDA. 913-586-7798.
You're just geese, people. Chill out.
Chill out, people. We're back with much more to wrap the show up. We're going to pack a lot in that last 15 minutes. And if Dan doesn't stop screaming out in the newsroom, I'm going to, there's another one. I think we'll know by the end of the show.
It's not going the way we want it to go.
I think we'll know by the end of the show who's going to be playing in Kansas City Saturday night. We'll leave it at that. Okay. We're not going to act like this is not happening right now.
Oh, it happened.
You guys.
We now know the matchup on Saturday night in Kansas City. The quarterfinal match, the last FIFA World Cup match in Kansas City will not feature Colombia.
Here's what I want to say. As someone who's very, very new to this game, and by very, very new, I mean like 20 days. The I kick, you kick. Okay? That's
penalty
what we just
kicks.
Did.
Yeah.
Literally just flip a coin. I said to Sam during a break, the kicker has to choose, am I going to aim sort of left or aim sort of right? And then in that exact same moment, the goalie has to choose, am I going to dive left or dive right?
So, that's why it's one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting thing.
There's four different
sports.
Possibilities, Sam. I kick left, you dive right. I kick right, you dive left. Or we both end up the same way.
There's many more than four possibilities because you could also go upper corner.
Yeah,
you could
I suppose.
Go bottom corner. A lot of guys like to kick it straight down the middle. They will align their body
yes.
to make it look like they're going to kick to one side or the other.
But it's a crapshoot.
And they kick it straight down
the middle.
I'm
not saying there's not skill involved.
And
I'm saying in that moment, in a split second, you have to decide as the kicker which way you're going to go, and I have to decide as the goalie which way I'm going to dive.
They've done the sports science breakdown, and it's not as aggressive as the fast pitch in baseball. But as we know, with the fast pitch in baseball, the batter has to swing before the completion
yes!
of the pitch. Otherwise, their body would physically not be able to react in time.
Correct.
The same thing applies in penalty kicks, especially when you are at the World Cup level and these guys, if they want to, are putting a rocket in the back of the net. They have to decide, I'm gonna dive, I'm gonna go low, I'm gonna go high, I'm gonna stay right here in the middle. They have to decide as that kicker, as the person taking the PK is winding up on their back kick, on their backswing before their kick. And a lot of guys have perfected the whole, I'm gonna run up from one direction,
and
I'm gonna
give kick
you
it the
a
other
big
one.
Old backswing, and then I'm just gonna lightly tap it the other direction.
Well, we saw one of the Swiss who just kind of nonchalantly, you know, tricked and then boom. Popped it in slow motion.
But
listen
to
this
point. That's what makes it so nerve-wracking is because
nobody knows
what's going on.
Penalty kicks are a high-stakes duel between physics, game theory, and human psychology. A struck ball travels at more than 60 miles an hour and reaches the goal in around 400 milliseconds. while average human reaction takes 250 milliseconds, which means goalkeepers must guess the shot's direction by reading the shooter's body language. And to your point, Sam, sometimes your body language is lying.
And there are guys that have perfected their different foot stances. Really, it just comes down to having knowledge of the people you're playing against. And at the World Cup level, that's incredibly difficult to do. One, I mean, that's a lot to study for the off chance that you don't even get to PKs.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the very final PK, seeing it won that way. Argentina, Switzerland.
You guys,
can't wait to have you Saturday night.
Oxford,
Ski Patrol made it through.
Yeah, Oxford professors have broken down the game theory with respect to the penalty kick that we just saw.
Yeah.
They've, like, the highest level mathematicians and psych minds have broken down everything that goes in, or nothing that goes in,
right,
to the decision made that we just saw here. And it's silly for us to not acknowledge what just happened. It does affect all of the fans coming into our town on Saturday night. As Sam mentioned, it will be an exciting match between Switzerland and an unbelievable
Argentina. Comeback, yeah.
If you missed what happened there earlier today, I still cannot believe Argentina will play again in our town Saturday night.
Switzerland could take them.
Could. I think the ticket prices just went up. I really do. I really do.
Certainly, yeah. Now that we know the lineup, it says 7 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. our time?
Yeah.
That's 6 p.m. our time. Right?
6 p.m. our time. Darn it.
On the official, you guys, on the official map in here, it says our final is Saturday, July 11th at 8 p.m. And we have been going by this map the entire World Cup.
I thought it was 8 p.m. Wait, are you messing with me, Dan?
Quarterfinal, Saturday, July 11th, 8 p.m. It will be Switzerland versus Argentina right here.
Oh,
all right.
In Kansas City.
It says coverage begins. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. The coverage is 24/7. Yeah. We will be back tomorrow with much more on Dana and Parks. Thank you for your continued support of our little program. Be safe, be good, and have a good night.
Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, and download the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.com. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.